Note that Mrs. Savage has called in just to listen to the conversation. We realize that she's not considered actually attending the meeting for any other kind of purposes other than to listen, and she can ask some questions. Can everybody hear me all right? Okay, good. So before we get started, I just thought it would be important. You know, we've had a lot more parent engagement over this past year and a half, and it's kind of an opportunity for
had a really strong deja vu.
Sure. Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Okay, we'll try this again. So again, I just wanted to take this opportunity to explain a few things to those either attending tonight or watching our live stream or watching afterwards. We set our regular monthly meeting schedule at the beginning of the year during an organizational meeting that is required by law. And then throughout the year, when we add any additional meetings, they're considered either special or emergency meetings. And they generally have a very limited or specific agenda. Public participation is part of the agenda for our regular meetings, but we don't include it in the special or emergency meetings. We do always welcome the public to attend our meetings unless we're in an executive session. So our meetings are, the purpose of the meetings is for us to discuss and act on district business. So we do ask those who are attending our meetings to please be respectful, refrain from making any comments during the meeting, because if you do have questions, we're going to be able to answer them much better after the meeting, either you give somebody a phone call or email us, something like that. We'll make sure that your questions get answered. So again, I realize that a lot of people really haven't been familiar with what our meeting requirements and format are, and they may not also understand some of the requirements placed on board members as elected officials. So again, if you're watching somewhere and you're like, that doesn't make sense, please give us a call and give us a chance to explain some of those requirements or restrictions that are placed on us. So just wanted to start the meeting out with that information. And now we would move on to the purpose of our meeting, which is to hear an update on dashboard statistics.
Okay, so first of all, I know that social media kind of exploded this afternoon saying that you know, there was going to be a vote taken and we're switching to masks. So I just want to remind everyone, we made a commitment because we did institute kind of a different way of approaching kind of a gradient scale, that we wanted to sort of regularly monitor that as a governance team. Mm-hmm. And that's really our purpose here tonight. So I just thought it was important to hit on that. Marcus, do you mind driving my slides? Okay. All right, so just a reminder, we hit last week that we really want to focus on 5 days of instruction in person for kids. That's articulated goal of this governance team, also the advisory groups that we've talked to as well. And there's a real priority about making decisions local. So the plan that was approved really localized decision-making on a building-by-building basis. So this I shared last week. Nothing is updated. The health department did not have updated numbers, except for they were able to confirm, to their knowledge, there are still no hospitalizations for ages 5 to 19 for Union County. So I will provide updated numbers as soon as I can get those in those categories. So I showed this slide last week And I thought it was important maybe we revisit that. And then I'm going to show you our experience over the past week. So as of August 21st, when we were last together, there were 4 student cases, 10 students quarantined, 1 staff case, 2 staff quarantined. And then we did the K6 and 712 breakdown for you. So if you go forward and look at this week, certainly things have changed. So it's still August 8th to current. We have 25 student cases, 243 student quarantines. 31 of those quarantines are modified quarantines. So that means that they can still attend school masked. 186 are quarantined to home, and 26 are pending. So that means we are waiting for a final decision from the health department on those cases. But according to the information we have, we do believe they fall in that category. We have 4 staff cases, 20 staff quarantine, 14 modified quarantines, and 6 regular quarantines. K6, 10 cases, 74 students are quarantined. I didn't break all that down since you kind of had the glance of the overall. And 712, 15 student cases, and 169 students are quarantined. So reminder that this is kind of the flow chart we follow, or the health department follows, but it's really guidance to families about your situation and how you, once you're identified as a contact, may end up quarantine. So again, this is the guidance that we follow as a link to the health department. If you have a vaccination, if you're wearing a mask, if you're not wearing a mask, or if you've been exposed to COVID already in the last 90 days. Same parameters. This is something we look at. Again, it was a nice visual to make those decisions and understand quarantine. So let me give you a little example. Today, for example, we had a kindergarten class at Edgewood, in which the entire class is quarantined. It's the first week of school, and kindergarten students are still learning the parameters and operations of the classroom, and there was no guarantee of 3 feet of distance that entire time, and little mask wearing, so therefore the entire class is quarantined. So those students will be engaging remotely with the teacher, but that just kind of gives you the impact and a look at how that looks. So kind of the classroom example I gave before, you might think of this as more like a traditional high school or college look to it, but I think it does a pretty nice job of explaining or showing that impact of a student. And certainly if, you know, we're in the lunchroom, that might look a little different. And certainly elementary is the example I just gave you. I mean, I think we could all see that happen in a kindergarten classroom pretty easily, despite efforts to keep kids 3 feet apart. We're humans, right? We like to gather together and make friends. Mark is going to we showed this to you and how you could get there, but we wanted to give you a real life example of our experience in one of the buildings, so it could kind of come to life for you.
Yeah, so in this scenario, I actually pulled the last 9 days worth of data, at Creekview Intermediate School. And that would give us a window of time from October 18th through today, August 26th. So we'll go back in time here to, get a little trigger happy, back to the 24th of August. And in that 7-day window of time, so that would have been from the 18th to the 24th, we had 6 total cases. Okay, which given the building population of 907 staff and students is a 0.66% COVID impact rate for that 7-day window. all of the cases and quarantines would have been the same for the following day, given each one of those other slotted days there. So then on day 8 yesterday, they had 13 cases and quarantines in the building, which took them to a total of 18, which is 1.9% COVID impact for the building. And then as of today, none of these other values had changed for any of those days of the week. And they added one additional case or quarantine today. So it would have taken them to 2.09%. So in that, so if we kind of follow our 3-day trajectory before, Creekview would have stayed under well underneath of that 6% threshold that we established in this example. Do you have any questions around this slide before I hop off to
that? Just, I guess my only question is, getting down to this detail level is only accessible by you, or can you click, you can't click down from the website, can you?
So actually that's, I'll show you what parents are able to see. Again, we can, this is a good, whoops, opportunity. So I'm going to actually go to our secured platform that we utilize at Marysville Schools internally. So I'll go to what the parents see, and this is what is sent to our principals every single day at 6 a.m. So we have an automated reporting system that this goes out to them every day at 6 a.m. Whoops, oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm not used to the controls. This here. So if I want to drill down, I can see how many cases or quarantines have occurred in my student's building by student and by staff in that regard. So that information is publicly available. Now, in terms of the scaling, like what is available or what I highlighted here, like that level of granularity, we do keep that internally, and that's part of our supplemental reports that we are monitoring at the district level. So again, this is part of an entire suite of reports that are sent to our administrative team and central office every single day at 6 a.m. as well, so that we're able to see on any given day of the week how many individuals have been impacted by COVID-19 across the district at large. We also have an entire table so we can see breakdowns on cases and quarantines by staff and students by individual buildings as well. So right now in the district, we have 295, or we've had 295 COVID-related incidents to date. We're also able to examine and parse our data by whether or not it's a quarantine that has resulted in being able to wear a mask to school, like a modified quarantine, or whether it's a quarantine that requires an out-of-school quarantine placement, which in this instance, it's 221 of those events in the district right now, as well as any pending, our values for pending confirmation from the Union County Health Department. So we're able to monitor all of those values as well. So we have a pretty close gauge on what's going on. That can also be parsed by grade level band. So we can even see breakdowns for K-6, 7-12, and individual departments as well, whether it's, we want to take a look at just transportation and food service at large. So yeah, more than anything, I wanted to get your guys' eyeballs on that and answer any questions that you may have.
I think our other worry point, quite honestly, is Bunsell. Bunsell has been all over the place this week. It could read one thing in the morning and another thing in the afternoon because of cases coming in. There is a communication going out to Bunsell's parents tonight, and that communication is saying we've had a very volatile week. We have a lot of kids ebb and flowing with quarantines and et cetera. We highly encourage you to wear masks to schools in order to start addressing some of these issues. It's not mandated at this point because we haven't kicked the trigger, but we want to make sure they're red, I think, if we look at the
correct
thing tonight,
yes,
and over 10%. Mm-hmm. So we want to make sure that families understand that, you know, we are watching it. You know, the mask does actually help you on that quarantine chart. Right. Mm-hmm. That's if you go back to the chart, and I know a couple of you mentioned, Mrs. Savage mentioned last meeting as well, you know, the quarantines are going to be the thing that could potentially escalate us pretty quick. Mm-hmm. And that is the case. Mm-hmm. So just a reminder that would be one way at this point. Now, certainly we'll continue to watch that. At the beginning of the year, there were a lot of things that were associated to before school starting. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of getting those flushed out and then saying, okay, we're paying attention here. And we're not in good shape. We have too many kids out of school at Bonsold in particular. Our other buildings are, I shared the Edgewood example this morning. So you can see how obviously that one situation drastically impacted that building.
And MHS is another one of those buildings as well. There was a substantial event a couple days ago that resulted in a number of cases in quarantine. So if we actually go to the breakdown here.
Yeah. We are seeing, the other thing I know a couple board members had asked me about is we are seeing an uptick in mask wearing by adults and by students over the past couple of days.
Right.
Another source of data, again, this is all part of a regular suite of reports that are delivered to our central office administrative team every day at 6 a.m. is where we're also monitoring the water reclamation gene copies per liter data, which is a good leading indicator on potential situations that would evolve within the water reclamation territory. As well as the case rates for the Raymond and Marysville zip codes as well. And the total cases, which that's updated every day at 2 p.m. by the Ohio Department of Health. So we have multiple sources of information that we're monitoring to keep a gauge on the situation in the ground in our district right now.
Mark, is that wastewater data, is that collected by the Union County Health Department?
I believe it is collected by the actual water reclamation facility and not by the health department.
And then it's just like forwarded to the Board of Health?
To, it'd be the Ohio Department of Health is who curates and organizes this. And in terms of collection, the last collection would have been August 17th. It goes all the way back to September of 2020.
Okay,
so we're able to see
almost a year
correct.
Worth of data there.
So we have points of reference that we can look at, given our current situation, where were we at similar points in time historically. So we would have a similar, again, in terms of gene copies per liter that we experienced in the middle of November of last year when we had a substantial outbreak in Marysville.
So do you know if that data, is it leading cases or is it lagging?
It leads cases. So you will see spikes in the gene copies data before you will see spikes in cases.
Okay.
Good question. Again, just other supplemental reports that our team is monitoring very, very closely for any changes so we can respond reflexively within the district.
I can't hear the conversation.
Are we even coming through the speakers right now?
Okay, so I didn't know if you had any other questions regarding what our current COVID situation was. I would be happy to answer those though.
I'm glad to hear that the that email's going out to parents in Bunsold now. We did have somebody reach out and say they had not looked at the dashboard until today. And it's like, well, I see at that point it was Bunsold was yellow at that point. And he wondered what it was the prior 2 days, So I think that's important for parents to have that heads up if you're approaching that. So
it is a very volatile situation right now at the middle school. And so I'll give you an example. Yesterday morning, the building was actually, the indicator was green because they had had enough cases fall off of their 7-day trailing indicator. Mm-hmm. But they had turned green in the morning when our dashboard automatically refreshes at 8 a.m. When we did our afternoon refresh though, the building had turned yellow. Mm-hmm. Because we had had a case that we resulted in a number of contact traces that we had to perform as a school district, which then threw the indicator into the yellow. So it is an incredibly volatile situation right now.
I guess my only other comment is just that reality of how much time it takes, you know, just kind of acknowledging how time labor intensive this is to follow through on all of those cases and contacts. And so, yeah, I appreciate that. And it's disheartening because I know it takes away from what we really want to be focusing on.
Yeah. I tried to ask this last week and it's still not clear in my head. So when there's a case and you're trying to figure out who's quarantined or modified quarantine, do you go to the teacher to say which kids were around which kids all day? Is that how it goes?
Starts with the principal.
The principal.
And then the principal can work with staff to figure out. We also have seating charts that are relied on through Unified Classroom to help with that as well. But it definitely is a collective effort that comes most often out of Kim's office to the principal and then to the teachers.
Mm-hmm. And so you were saying for that kindergarten class, the students will be working remotely with their teacher. For these other students who are quarantined, how do we deal with that?
So the principals work with those families depending on the situation. Obviously an entire class was easier to do remotely.
Right.
Kim's working with principals to ensure that we have a staff member that is reaching out to students on quarantine, so that we're checking base at minimum to see what else they need, what support, helps, you know, supplies, resources that we can help provide. Mm-hmm. So we do have those structures in place. Currently, staff members are received last school year, I guess, iPads where they can record their lessons at the time and upload them to Unified Classroom. So we have kind of different strategies to spend, depending on the grade. Kindergarten would be much different than a high school student in that approach, for sure.
Does anyone have any other questions?
I guess a question I have is there's been a lot of volatility at Bunsold in an upward direction. So what sort of things do you think from a mathematical data perspective need to happen for the numbers to come down?
There actually will be a significant decrease tomorrow morning due to a single number of cases and quarantines that occurred on August 20th at Bunsold. So 65 of those will drop off of the 7-day window tomorrow. So if I did my math correctly as of 4:07 p.m. today, we have 128 total COVID-related incidents within that 7-day time frame at Bunsold Middle School. 65 of those have an onset date of August 20th. And so those will drop off tomorrow on the 27th. So that would leave us with 63 COVID-related incidents in our 7-day window if nothing changes overnight. And that would take us to a 7% COVID incidence rate for the building. So they would be yellow likely again tomorrow morning.
Okay. I know I was asked a question late today, so we couldn't pull all of the numbers, but I did ask him to kind of put it rough together. The question was asked, if we had mandatory masking or if kids were masked, let's just say it like that, if kids were masked, how would that have impacted the quarantine numbers?
So roughly 40 kids would have been in quarantine for sure. Why? And everyone else would have been on the front. 6 foot. Of that 40, is the inner class because of that.
Right.
And then the rest of them are all due to needs that they require.
So it is a heavy reliance back on that flowchart.
Right, the quarantine guidelines.
Correct.
Exactly, right. And so, I mean, like hearing that, as parents, I just would encourage parents to consider that, you know, the impact that it has potentially on your child and other kids in your classroom to consider, you know, for the time being, for a short time, mask up and consider using like every mitigation strategy we have available. You know, I encourage our teachers if they have barriers. I know we've got better cleaning protocols, or we have good cleaning protocols, but just that encouragement of really focusing on that so that we don't have these kids out of the classroom.
One of the things that impacted me was I have a grandson whose mother got a phone call today that he was a contact. He had been exposed to some degree. And she informed the person that called that my grandson has been vaccinated. And so because of that, he was able to mask and stay in school under the modified quarantine protocol. So I was grateful for that.
So process-wise, certainly we collect the students, but we don't have access to who's been vaccinated or
right.
anything.
Yeah.
So that's really right. why the process goes then to the health department to vet through those nuances, mm-hmm. and then they report back to us
okay.
which situation that student is in.
Right.
Yeah, and about how long does that take the health department to process all of that?
So the health department gets back to me in a pretty timely manner within a couple hours, but mm-hmm. for them to contact the families, it's taking longer just because of the processes they have to follow, but they're able to let us know if they need to be excluded or not. And that's as of today, right?
Right.
Where they're at in their
office. Yeah.
Any other questions?
I mean, and we'll plan on updating this similar format. If there's other things you'd like to see,
mm-hmm.
Certainly, obviously, I email you frequently, but, you know, if you'd like to see some revisions to what we share next week,
mm-hmm.
We are slated to meet again on next Thursday at 4:30, we'll be happy to change or add anything that would help inform.
I guess that I can't remember. We received another email about the presentation being hard to, like, the screens, the slides were hard to see on the live stream, and so I didn't know if we had talked about maybe making that presentation available.
I believe they
I'll double check on that one.
If not, we can put last week's and this week's on.
Right. So as it stands now, the plan that we had approved last Thursday was that we were monitoring this in any building in a zone other than green for 3 consecutive days would result in that recommended action happening.
Right, and I think as a result of our fun zone experience this
yes.
year, we've now created a scripted communication that
okay.
as soon as that yellow triggers, if it's in the evening,
right.
morning, you kind of heard that platform, that will go out. Because it would have been reasonable to think, as a parent, I could have logged in on Tuesday morning, we would
yes.
have been green.
Yes.
I look again Wednesday morning,
yes.
and I'm green, but
yes.
I didn't have that knowledge. So that we're going to go ahead and trigger that yellow communication as
okay.
soon as you hit yellow, not to panic, but
right.
just to inform.
Exactly. Right. And I guess that would be the other reminder, is just that the realization of when that data is updated. You know, because like you said, you look at it in the morning and I look at it in the afternoon and somebody says it's green. And says, no, it's not. It's yellow. You know, and,
right.
and so just, you know, parents or community members being aware of when that update takes place.
So we're going to commit to an automatic update at 8 a.m. every day, noon and 4 o'clock.
Well, so
did you
Mike,
guys,
I didn't...
eight,
noon and 4 p.m. each day, there will be updates.
So when we were presented with plan last week and we approved it, I didn't realize there was an ambiguity in it, because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the trigger is 3 days in a row. Does that mean 3 days it goes into yellow at any of those 3 updates, or 3 days where it stays at yellow the whole day?
And that's not something we've we discussed. So,
okay.
Yeah. Well, I think that that quite honestly, that is something we did not recognize would happen.
Yeah, anticipate what occurred.
Did. And so that's why we're sending the letter to parents tomorrow saying, look, we've been in and out of green. You know, we haven't consistently been yellow. We've been in and out of green. So let's take some precautions. If you can wear a mask, a couple of things I would tell parents, if your child cannot wear a mask, there is a waiver process, right? Mm-hmm. Even if we go to a point, let's say bundled turns green or yellow for the next 20 days, and we say you're going in a mask, I'm hating, you know, a extreme on purpose. There's an exemption process that's posted. Those go to Miss Jude's office, and we'll fill that out. That's a possibility. So we have the virtual academy, which I wanted to talk briefly about. We have just over 30 families currently enrolled K-5 that have added since last week. And we're completing staffing models with that and getting things ready for students. So there's also an option if that would work for your family as well. So there are some options available to you if you know that fits your family and your child and what you need.
Right.
I think the question that I sent today was really kind of distinguishing between the quarantine that requires out of school and the modified quarantine where students are able to attend, because the goal is keep kids in school in front of the teachers if at all possible. And and I don't know, you've been able to answer every question and design everything. I don't know how difficult that is, but I think that's an interesting piece of information. I don't know that it's critical, but certainly interesting. And so if we can do that, and as I
say, on the dashboard or just at the
like where it says case and quarantine.
If you could, you know, say these are quarantine, these are modified quarantine. And I would remind parents again, my grandson was able to continue to stay in school today because his mother, who is an intensive care nurse and has been taking care of COVID patients, vaccinated him. And the goal is for our district and for this board is to keep kids in class in front of the teachers. And that would be something you could choose to do that would help us.
Just gonna make a note of that. So
well, I guess I'm wondering, shouldn't we resolve this ambiguity? Because people are they're able to access all this, so they can see what's happening, and that's kind of one of the beauties of the plan, right? But if we don't know what 3 days in a row means, then we're just you see my point? So is that something that we should resolve as a board or administratively? Like, what does it mean to say 3 days in a row? It's a pretty straightforward question.
With it being updated at different times.
Right. Mark, it just didn't occur to me that we'd be updating throughout the day. You know, it's kind of like compound interest, whether it's, once a year or once a day. Right. Continuous, whatever.
Yeah.
Is that something we need to resolve today, or is that something you want to think about and sort out?
I would want to think about it a little bit myself.
We want to try. One of the things we tried to do last year was to maintain some consistency,
right,
and not get into quick
knee-jerk reaction.
Good way to explain it, and to make sure that we gave people time to adjust. Now, circumstances this year and what we're facing in our policy created a completely different landscape in terms of that. But again, I think I need some time to kind of think about how to handle that so that we don't end up in a situation where somehow or another things flip back and forth more quickly and creates more confusion rather than resolve it. So,
yeah, I agree. I just feel like we've tried to be really intentional this whole time and thoughtful and not rushing through things.
Right. And as a board, we can't meet, we can't have discussions together before meetings or between meetings, that type of thing. And so it means like tonight, I feel like came up with something that we need to make a decision on, something that needs to be addressed, but I don't think tonight is the proper place to do that. I think we each need to do some thinking. Let Diane and Mark and Kim and everybody else that's involved in this think about it, come up with some ideas, and see if we can't get a recommendation that makes sense.
And we do have, we have a special, we've got a special meeting. It's really more board, like our board orientation, things like that on the 31st, but then our next weekly meeting to have the dashboard update is next Thursday.
Right.
If something goes crazy between now and then, we can always revise the meeting on the 31st to include some other updates as well, if we feel like that's necessary.
The 31st, we're all involved in the advisory committee, but
right.
We could figure something out for someone to come back and make a recommendation.
Right.
Honestly, it's something that unfolded to us pretty quickly.
Right.
And we had the discussion today.
Right.
But I think we have a couple ideas we'd like to see how they play out. But if you give us another day, maybe we can even share something at your 31st meeting.
Sure.
One of us and go from there.
Mm-hmm. I think that makes sense.
Me too. That's good.
Sorry, I just think the goal, I think, let me see if we're all in agreement about this, is that we have a framework in place that doesn't require board input on any kind of operational daily level. It's like a machine. And now, obviously, we can meet on an emergency basis if something goes haywire or crazy.
But right.
Yeah. Are we in agreement about
that? Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I know. I'm just kind of thinking about how the fact that Diane with her team there has access to all of that detailed information at her fingertips.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, I think, is just the fact that Diane does a great job updating the board as well. So if there ever is a major thing going on, I get the call or she texts or whatever, but we know something's going on, so we're aware of it. But the ones with the information, they have the ability to make the decisions and share them with us. And like you said, if we need to meet, we'll meet. But otherwise, I think that's one of the good things about this plan.
Yeah. Thinking back to last summer, I know there were at least three very big, significant revisions that were made to the start of school program. It took us probably 5 months getting into school into October, November, before we began to iron out some of the kinks. And so I think it's unrealistic to expect that we would, in one meeting at one time, come up with something that didn't have something that could be improved. But I think I like the idea of being thoughtful about the changes and the improvements.
And having our full board, next week, the board members will be everybody. There are no more comments or questions. Then I would, Nan, did you have any comments or questions, Nan?
Okay, so my key item is that you know, we really, really want to keep the kids in school 5 days a week. And I found it really difficult to hear, so I don't think I think I'll be there for any future meetings because I couldn't really hear the discussion very well. But it's very important that we keep kids in school 5 days a week. Also, the fact that we have people in the community that have very strong opinions, I think we need to make sure that they understand that there's a mask exemption form if they want to follow through on that process.
Yes, Diane did mention that.
Did everybody hear her?
Okay.
You were heard.
Okay.
All right. Great. Okay. Then with that, I would accept a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Luce.
Second.
Second by Mr. Smith. Roll call.
Mr. Luce?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes, motion carries, and we are adjourned at 5:13. Thank you.